So our next presenter is Melanie Leslie. She is a PhD in neuroscience from Wake Forest and now is a research associate with the Center for Evaluation and Program Improvement at Vanderbilt University. Melanie, there you go. Okay,
good morning. So as the title says here, I'll be talking about the evidence of underreporting of behavioral health problems by high-risk individuals during a health screening. So the objectives of this study were to explore individual attitudes and characteristics that might influence disclosure in a structured health screening for individuals that are at high risk for mental health symptoms, and also to measure the extent of underreporting of mental health symptoms. We did that by comparing an anonymous survey that we developed at Vanderbilt with non-anonymous survey that subjects were taking regarding mental health concerns. So as an overview, first of all, this research project that I'll be talking about was part of a much larger study to evaluate the U.S. military's health risk appraisal process for service members that are returning from deployment. And in the event that you're interested, at the bottom there's the reference to the full report from that study. The key components of that evaluation included, first of all, a secondary analysis of all the electronic screening records from the military and their health service utilization records for all of the service members that completed this health risk screening between January of 06 and May of 09. We also went on site visits to military installations while they were doing the screening process for service members that had come back from deployment. We conducted semi-structured interviews with key individuals that are involved in the process, including the providers that administer the screening and the unit leaders, so service members that are actually going through the process themselves. We also were able to obtain recordings of these screening interviews that happened over the telephone, and we were able to do a content analysis of those. And finally, what I'll be focusing on today is the fourth item, which is that we conducted surveys with service members who had just completed this health risk appraisal process. So I'll tell you a little about the deployment cycle health risk appraisal process for the military. So it starts out with the PHA there on the left, and that's the periodic health assessment. And then as you go around that circle to the right, so the periodic health assessment is done every year, and then service members deploy. When they're ready to come back, they do what is called the PDHA, the post-deployment health assessment. They do that within 30 days of when they come back, so that can be either while they're still overseas or after they come back. And then after that, they do what I'm going to be focusing on, which is the PDHRA, the post-deployment health reassessment. And then finally, they do an assessment before they get ready to deploy, and that's called the PREDHA. So really, the purpose of all of this is just to let you know that the post-deployment health reassessment at the bottom there that I'll be focusing on is just part of a larger cycle that the service members are going through. And then on top of all of these screening health assessments, of course, they can get health care anytime they want, just like you or I. They could go to their doctor. So let me tell you more about this screening that I'll be focusing on, the post-deployment health reassessment, also known as the PDHRA. As I just mentioned, it's completed 3 to 6 months after redeployment, and please note that redeployment means coming back, returning from being overseas. Participation of the service members is not required, so they can choose to not respond to certain items in the self-report, but that rarely happens. For the most part, everybody fills out the entire survey. And this survey, the screening, assesses both physical and mental health symptoms for the service members. And I just want to be clear that as I'm talking about I'll be talking about a couple of surveys. The PDHRA, that's a survey done by the military, so they're doing that anyway, regardless of what we're doing. And I'll be talking later about our survey that we developed. So the PDHRA is a two-stage screening process. The first stage is that the service member will fill out a self-report online. If it were on 8x10 pages, it would be 3 pages long. But it includes screens for physical concerns, including things they might have been exposed to while overseas, any injuries they have or just physical symptoms they have that were related to their deployment. It also screens for mental health concerns, including traumatic brain injury, also known as concussion, relationship conflicts, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and alcohol misuse. So service members complete that online 3 to 6 months after they come back from overseas. And then within a couple of days, they will go through a brief interview with a healthcare provider, either in person or over the telephone. And then the healthcare provider has an additional 2 pages that they complete that they review with the service member. So that provider section includes the provider reviewing the self-report responses with the service member and then providing a brief health assessment, providing them with any education about where to get services, what services might be helpful to them, and then actually making referrals for further evaluation where that's warranted. And I just want to mention that this medical encounter is really sort of non-typical. It really is a screening process. So there's no diagnosis, prognosis, or treatment given. And in fact, the providers are not allowed to do that in this interview. And there's no physical exam. So they're talking to the service member, and their goal is to get the service member to further evaluation if they feel that might be warranted. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about the methods and the sampling procedure that we used for our survey that we developed at Vanderbilt. So this was a convenience sample of Army, Navy, and Marine service members at 44 different locations around the country, and they were recruited in person after they had completed their interview with the healthcare provider about the PDHRA. We also had some service members from the Air Force. Because they do their process a little bit differently, they were recruited online within 4 weeks of having completed that interview with the healthcare provider. And there were about 200 service members we excluded because they were not deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, and that's the population we really wanted to focus on. So service members from 10 of those 44 locations, we were able to link their PDHRA to the survey that I'll talk a little bit more about in a minute. So the survey that we developed, the Vanderbilt survey, was anonymous, and we were able to do that linking by having a separate card where we did ask the service member for identifying information. That information was sent directly to the military, and basically it's just a way to link our survey with the military survey without us having any identifying information about the service members. So overall, there were almost 7,000 surveys completed, and about 2,200 of them were linked to the PDHRA. Okay. So this shows the demographics for the entire sample, so that's the 6,700 service members that completed surveys for us. And I'll just note that some of the numbers, when you break out the demographics, are a little bit smaller than the 6,700 due to missing data. But basically, most service members were male, they were young, they were from the Army, and they were in the enlisted ranks rather than officer. And that's very typical of the military. But I will say this is not a representative sample. This was a convenient sample, again, so we won't be breaking out any results based on any of these demographic variables. Okay, so now I can talk a little more about our survey, which we call our service member survey. And the purpose of it was to assess attitudes that are relevant to this PDHRA screening process. So there were 82 items, and 47 of those items we could categorize into 8 theory-based scales. Most of the items on the survey were scored on a scale from strongly disagree to strongly agree, but some of the items were yes, no. And then there were some additional single items that were used in analysis, such as demographic variables, and I'll talk later about some questions we had about disclosure. So here in the graph, I've shown those 8 theory-based scales. And on the right-hand side, on the left is strongly disagree, so 1 is strongly disagree, 3 would be neither agree nor disagree, and then 5 on the right is strongly agree. Those first 2 scales, barriers to accepting mental health referrals and perceived stigma, are below 3, meaning that on average service members were fairly positive. They did not see barriers to accepting mental health referrals or perceive a lot of stigma. And then these other scales are positive, so they were people were scoring, or the average score was slightly above 3, meaning they were generally positive about their willingness to disclose, awareness of others' problems, satisfaction with the process, and so on. Okay. And this just shows some simple Pearson R correlations for relationships between the scales. So post-deployment support and help-seeking was strongly related to most of the other scales that we were mentioning. Of course, there's the negative relationships to the perceived stigma and barriers to accepting care. So generally, the post-deployment support and help-seeking seemed to be the most important for people in terms of their attitudes about the screening process. And again, just some relationships between scales here. So I've highlighted a couple of the areas that I wanted to focus on. So the unit leaders, having a unit leader that had been deployed with you in theater and having that unit leader brief you about what the PDHRA process is about, those are both positive. So that was associated with people reporting more willingness to seek help, more cohesion within their unit, and more support of their leadership for the screening process. If people were seeking promotion within the next 6 months, if they had experienced some type of mental health problem since deploying, and if somebody, a friend or family member, had suggested they seek help, those people seemed to perceive more stigma for disclosure and perceived more barriers for mental health care. We asked a series of 3 questions that asked whether service members had fully disclosed their physical, emotional, and alcohol use concerns on this screening process. And we found that a substantial minority reported that they did not fully disclose. So 10% did not fully disclose physical symptoms, about 12.5% did not fully disclose mental, emotional problems, and then almost 14% did not fully disclose alcohol problems. And then this graph just shows that the linking to the PDHRA. So of those people that reported a problem, 43% of them in the red there did not report any mental health problem on the PDHRA. So on our anonymous survey, they're saying they have a problem, but they're not willing to report that on the military's screening form. And then those people that on our anonymous survey said, yes, I have a problem, we looked at their PDHRAs to see if, looked at the clinician section of the PDHRA to see if the clinician marked any concerns about mental health problems. Basically, the idea was, did something new come up during the interview? Maybe the service member didn't disclose on their self-report, but perhaps in that interview, the provider was able to get that service member to disclose. But that did not turn out to be the case, and you can just focus on the 0.53 number of major concerns, that's the provider marking concerns on that form. And if people had a mental health problem, they were reported on the PDHRA, they were much more likely to have the clinician recognize that concern. But if they had not marked anything on the PDHRA, the clinician did not recognize that. In the interest of time, I'm going to skip over that one real quick. And we'll just get to the summary. The service members were generally neutral or slightly positive about the PDHRA process, suggesting that they had positive views on things like unit cohesion and leadership support and fewer problems related to stigma and barriers to care. However, a substantial minority of service members admitted to underreporting on the PDHRA, and those problems did not seem to be uncovered during the clinical interview. Factors that are associated with more disclosure or with underreporting. More disclosure was associated with being briefed on the process by a unit leader, by receiving education about mental health treatments that are available, talking with friends or family also facilitated disclosure, and perceiving a high level of leadership support and unit cohesion. Underreporting was associated with seeking promotion in the next 6 months, with knowing the provider who was doing the interview with you. Sometimes they might know the provider, sometimes not. And interestingly, underreporting was also associated with reporting a problem. So those very people that admit having a problem anonymously might be the very ones who are not willing to report that on the military's screening form. So underreporting might be addressed by providing specialized training to the clinicians who conduct successful screening interviews. They're often not provided with any specialized training about how to do that screening process. Our sample is not representative, as I mentioned, and the meaning of neutral responses for some of our survey items is unclear. Future directions, we would like to explore the PDHRA itself to better define the sample, apply SEM as a next step to better understanding the relationship between and among attitudes and individual characteristics. And we are now piloting a workshop designed to enhance patient-centered communication skills for PDHRA providers. Do we have time for questions, or is that?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Great job. Do we have any questions? Yes and no, in the back.
So the clinical interview that didn't uncover unidentified problems, is that a telephone interview?
It depends. It's for the active component of the military, it's typically an in-person interview. If you're in the reserve or National Guard, it's often by telephone.
Was that stratified at all?
Not for this sample, no. Yes.
Just a quick question. To piggyback on that, you said that one of the factors to underreporting was the fact that the service member knew the provider
right, that
they were doing a clinical interview with. Is that provider usually the provider that was with them when they were deployed, or is that a different provider? Because a lot of the units have Corman or...
Right. Yeah. If they, we didn't ask that for sure, but if they knew the provider, I'm guessing that it was the person deployed with them.
That's a little surprising, because what I've heard is that there's a presumption that if the provider, the healthcare provider that was deployed with them, they have a deeper bond, they trust them more, sometimes surprised as it comes out that it's a factor in underreporting.
Yeah, and you know, I have really heard it both ways. Some people have said exactly what you said, but you're exactly right, it's an assumption, and I don't know that we've really tested that. Because I've also, you know, I've talked to some of these providers, and if they've deployed with the unit, they might say something like, well, I know what happened when we were down there, and I know that so-and-so really never experienced anything, so, you know, I'm not going to take it quite as seriously. So, you know, their judgment may come into it, too, to where they don't think somebody has a problem, even though they might experience one.
Most of the variety of assessments, including this one, are given to people regardless of discharge status, I mean, less than honorably discharged, dishonorably discharged.
Yes, I believe they are. And in fact, I think anybody that's processing out of the military is required to take this, even if they weren't deployed or if it's less or more than 6 months since they redeployed. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Great job.